What's up, everybody? This is episode 18 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. This is one of your hosts, Eduardo Pineda.
Benjamin Cisapaneco.
Juan Bravo.
And today we have a special guest. Mike B is in the house. Without further ado, we can just get along your origin story.
Oh, man. Where do I even start? Does it start with my very first toy?
You can start it off
I haven't heard this.
Either your very first toy or like the first memory you have of like collecting something or...
The very first toy I had was... My dad kind of surprised me. That's when Empire Strikes Back... No, sorry, Star Wars came out.
The first Star Wars.
But later on, he told me about it. Didn't know anything about Star Wars at the time. And then one day he came home with a small-scale Millennium Falcon. I'm saying it right. The Falcon. Really small-scale. I didn't know what it was. And he just kind of...
How much is this Spider-Man?
$30.
And I was just kind of like really surprised to see anything like that. He goes, yeah. He goes, this is just a beginning. You know, get good grades. You know, I'll get you some more toys. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Then later on, I was just like, I wasn't really into it. And then he took me to Toys R Us one day and showed me the Voltron. I think it was the, not the Matchbox one. I think it was a different one. But it started like slowly but surely I started seeing the toys. It didn't catch my attention, but when the cartoons hit, then that's when I got hooked. It showed me, it took me out to see Empire Strikes Back. Then I started watching Voltron, He-Man, G.I. Joe. And then that's where it started. And then so I was like, I have to get this. I have to get them. I had to get...
What was it like? What were your first toys, the first lines that you collected?
I would have to say G.I. Joe for sure. G.I. Joe was one of the first lines. Thundercats was another one. A little bit of Silverhawks. Transformers was a definite. I was really hooked on Transformers.
This was in the
80s? Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yeah, I'm 80s. Yeah, I'm 45, unfortunately. I was an 80s kid. Anything that had to do with the 80s, I was hooked on. And I couldn't just stay to one line because I was so... I was so hooked on everything that came out.
Yeah.
And now also that was around the early times when Japanese animation barely started coming out. I think it only come out like on Sundays. I think it was Voltron, Transor Z. Oh God, what are the other ones that came out in the early? I can't remember all the other ones. There were so many, but it was it's addicting. You get hooked on it. Once you see the cartoon, you have to have the toy line.
When did Marvel or DC come into play, like, for you start when you started collecting that? Was that, like, way further down the line?
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay,
you're welcome.
He ran all the way back here. He didn't want it to go. So,
appreciate it. Of course.
We're coming back in October. We'll come look for you guys again.
You know, we always want to make sure that, especially when the kids come out, I like, you know, giving them something a little extra because, you know what, they're always going to remember, and we want to treat kids the best we can, you know?
Dude, you'll have a repeat customer for sure. Thank you guys again. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
Good one, brother.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, where were we at with the question?
I think we were left off. Marvel. No, when did you start, or like when did Marvel and DC come into play as far as you collecting? Because that wasn't part of your childhood too much.
No, I think the first time I got hooked on Marvel was the X-Men, and that was actually a cartoon that was aired in the early 80s. Oh no, I think it was early 80, like 80, 85. It was. Pride of the X-Men.
Pride of the X-Men.
Pride of the X-Men.
X-Men.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah.
This is the day.
And I saw that for the first time, and I was like, oh, man, it had a great story. But the thing that was killing me is that Wolverine's dialogue was Australian.
Yeah.
And he was Canadian. And
yeah, it was like
That dialogue killed me on it. But the storyline was great. The characters was great. So that's where it started. And then from there, I started collecting the comic books. And then I got hooked on the comic books. I think I started with The Fall of the Mutants. Then came Inferno. And then it came to the other side stories of Secret Wars. And from there and so on. But one of the things that was really trippy for me that I didn't know at the time is that I was going to this comic shop in North Park called Amazing Comics. And there they had a guest artist who was promoting his Spider-Man comic. Didn't know nothing about the guy, didn't know who he was. Just to find out, it was Todd McFarlane.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah, for the first time. And I bought the comic book, and the comic collector was like, hey, you know, we got the Spider-Man comic out, you know, coming out. Which, you know, I know you collect X-Men, but check out, you know, this artist is pretty, you know, new and upcoming. And so, you know, he opens the book and he signs it for me. Go, here you go, take it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I'll stick to the X-Men comics. Felt kind of bad. He was a really nice guy, though. I mean, but that's the only time I ever met him. But from there, I was just hooked on that. And then one story after another, it was great. And then that's when the 90s cartoon came out. And that's where it started for me, when I became a hardcore collector. Once the cartoon...
How old were you there? Did you ever stop? Like, because I know so me and Ben, we stopped.
Like the Toy Biz, right?
The original Toy Biz, yeah, when they were really stiff.
That's what did it for me too, man.
Yeah, the original Toy Biz is what did it for me. I mean, the articulation wasn't very good, but it was still something, you know. It was like, I had to have it, you know. Archangel came out, I had to have the Archangel, you know. Wolverine came out. I tried to get every single Wolverine out. Actually, I still have one left still in the package. That actually
has... Tiger Stripe, right?
The Tiger Stripe, but he has a spacesuit on.
The 12-inch one?
Yeah, no. It's a 6-inch, but it came with a CD.
That was from when the Landra.
Yes.
That was from he wore a spacesuit. That's from the cartoons, actually.
Yeah, and he came with a CD of the actual cartoon.
Yeah.
But you had it loaded on a regular PC. You couldn't watch it like on a regular DVD. Yeah. I still have that one. Yeah, it was
like the old school digital.
Yeah, the old
school. Yeah. You had to click on it. Yeah. No, it played like CD-ROM. It still played the movie, but it was very, you know, it was very primitive at the time. But, I mean.
Good stuff, though. That's the stuff you got back then.
It was.
Yeah.
Now you're lucky you get a sticker or a card.
But then I collected those for like the longest time. And then, but once Toy Biz hit, that's when I went crazy. And the only places I was able to find a Toy Biz one was in GameStop. GameStop actually sold the Toy Biz. Oh, was it 2001 or 2002?
The first
Toy Biz ones that came out. Maybe 2002.
2002,
and then that's when I started becoming a hardcore collector, even more with Toy Biz. And I don't think I ever even stopped to even think about how much money I was spending. It was a bad addiction. I mean, it was big. I mean, I collected every single line from the Sentinel Wave, the Morlock Wave, man, what were the other lines they had? Onslaught, Galactus, Giant Man. I had them all. And I collected those for a long time. And then I was working between jobs. And I think that's when I started working at Game Crazy. If anyone remembers that, that's when Hollywood Video had the video games inside Hollywood Video.
I used to buy stuff from those, especially the one right there on Highland, across from the Walmart.
Yes.
And the bazaar, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. As a price breaker, I used to go to that one, and I used to buy stuff there at the Game Crazy.
Yeah, I
Palomar, right?
Palomar. They had a lot. They had one in Santee. They had one in University, North Park, Lemon Grove, Palomar, National City, Rancho, Arrow Drive. And actually, right down the street here from the Swami, there was one down here too, where the bank is at right now, here in Rosecrans. And I remember that because I was transferring around working there. My first store was Santee, believe it or not. That's kind of funny. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and then they moved me to North Park. And I worked at North Park for a while, and then they, I guess something happened with all the managers where they decided to quit every single. Manager decided to quit the business, and the DM pulled them to go work at a Jiffy Lube or something. And then they were hurting for managers, and they said, hey, you want to get promoted? So I took, so I was working at University at the time, and then I took over the Lemon Grove store, and I was working there. And that became another addiction, but then I started collecting video. Oh my god. Don't get me started. Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, X-Men: Children of the Atom.
Everything was recent. Like everything like came out, and you guys had this, or they had the return or the buy. They would rent the games too, right?
Try before you buy, and
try
you had
before you buy.
Try before you buy, or you could rent the game. So you were on one side of the Hollywood Video renting the game, and you're like, oh, I could buy it on the other side.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything that was exclusive, I was buying everything. All the Resident Evil games, all the fighter games I was getting. Since I was management, I was getting the free promotions. I was keeping one free promotion for myself. Okay. That was kind of scandal, but...
You know. Are those the cartridges that say, like, not for resale?
Yes.
Is that the ones?
Actually, I still have a few at home. I'll show you pictures, but... it was a sleeve, and it would come with a demo disc of one level of the game.
Oh, okay.
They had that for the PSP, PS2...
Are those the ones that they would run, like, when you get to play the demos at the store or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And sometimes I would keep them still sealed. And I was bad. It was a really bad addiction. But then I got a reality check when it came close to... I was living in East San Diego. And that's when we had the whole fall of the market of the homes.
Yeah.
With the mortgages and people were losing their homes. And...
2007, 2008.
Yeah, it was a bad time, and I remember I was trying to save my house. I just got it. Yeah, I just financed the house, and then it was a bad mortgage.
You had an interest only loan.
Yeah,
like everybody else.
That was it, and that did me in, and I had to sell everything I had, every single collectible, everything I collected for years, had to get rid of it. And then when I finally came up with the money to pay off my home, they said, "We didn't want your money." So everything was gone. So I stopped collecting for a while. I just worked. I kept my comic books. That's the only good thing. And then from there, I was like, I stopped. I think I had a big gap where I didn't collect anything and watching movies here and there. And just recently, about 2 years ago, I came back into collecting. And believe it or not, that's all because of a woman.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of you guys know, and that's Nikki.
Shout out to
my wife, Nikki.
Shout out to Nikki Benavidez.
She's the only reason why I was able to collect again, because for that time that I lost my home, I was actually homeless for a while. You know, I mean, luckily, my daughter had a place to stay, and I was just trying to make ends meet. I was still working, thank God, but I was kind of moving from place to place. And then I explained to my wife what my collecting mean to me. She's like, okay. Here's some money, start your collections, you know, start looking again little by little. And she was giving me the money, which is very unheard of. Like, usually, you know, we got wives like,
it's the opposite.
Why are you spending this money? Or
give me the money.
And she's completely opposite. She was helping me out. I mean,
you know, we got to get our wives to hang out with your wife.
Go get drunk. I was letting you know right now.
She
could drink like a sailor. I mean, that girl loves tequila. And she's a very tough woman too. She doesn't put up with no beef from anyone. I mean, I've seen her do some things. People heard some stories. She puts people in their place, which is kind of good to have someone to back you up in the fight. She helps a few collectors actually. I had to slow her down. But yeah, she was the whole reason I got back into collecting again, and I came back to the X-Men. And if something I couldn't afford, she forked over the money to help me get it.
What was the first thing you bought when you got back into collecting?
Oh, man. The very first thing I got? I think, slowly but surely, I started collecting the old Toy Biz X-Men again. No, I'm sorry. Name me. No, it was the Avengers.
That was for me. You ever look at my album and Marvel Legends, my Facebook?
No.
The first thing I have lined up is Marvel, is the Toy Biz 90s figures. And then on the bottom,
the box set. It's the box set she bought for me. We went to comics and stuff, and she bought me the box set that has a picture of the Avengers in the front, the old Toy Biz one.
And it has a bunch of little figures inside?
Yeah, it has all five of the original characters. Okay. That's the one that she bought for me. She bought the comics and stuff over at Parkway, and slowly but surely we started buying all the Toys Those exclusives. The X-Men one with the original costumes, and the other X-Men with the new team, with Sunfire, Colossus. That's what started it. And then I started going from there and there. And then the collection started getting bigger and bigger. I had to start buying shelves. I think I have too much now. They're all over my room. I kind of took over a room with toys everywhere. There was one time she got pissed off at me where I have this headboard, and she was trying to, you know, get a little close to me one time, and a freaking Hulkbuster fell down and hit her in the head.
Oh,
man. And she was so heavy, dude. Yeah, actually it was the one of the Marvel Selects that hit her in the head, and she was pissed.
Maybe you should have yelled out Hulk Smash.
Yeah, she never forgave me for that one. Oh. Like, so I had to stop putting loose figures on the top. I had to start putting the box ones.
Oh,
and I know she's going to laugh at that one. I'll probably get it when I get home. But yeah, I remember that popped her in the head. And she's like, no more. I don't want this stuff. So that's when I kept them on the shelves, and I kept all the box ones on top.
What else? What are like new stuff that you start picking up recently that's like wasn't from your childhood or anything like that?
That wasn't new
that you just started either collecting or like recently or when you started collecting again that you didn't, that wasn't like part of your childhood memories or anything like that?
Well, the thing is, I mean, pretty much everything was...
You saw a lot of things, huh? You saw pretty much a lot of things.
The 80s, 90s were actually, it was actually the doorway to everything that we have today. There's nothing you could say that what's new, because everything goes back to the beginning.
Kind of like a wheel.
If it's Marvel, if it's Star Wars, if it's Metal Gear, I mean, the video games, everything started from there.
Yeah,
there's nothing anyone can really say what's new, besides maybe some of the newer cartoons, but everything is a reboot. So pretty much everything's my childhood. I mean, I'm looking at this table right here, and there's nothing I don't really recognize except for maybe a movie or
like the Fortnite. Well, you know what
Fortnite.
This is fairly new, so it's like, and plus we don't really collect Fortnite. At least none of the people that I know from the San Diego toy community are collecting Fortnite right now.
Yeah,
so mainly like, for the kids.
Yeah. Because they play the video game.
I try to make that known too as much as possible on the Thug group too.
Tell us about the Thug group.
Oh, the Toy Hobby United group. I started that because I was big. Well, it started as an idea because I saw all the great groups that are out there right now, like San Diego Toy Collectors, United Toy Collectors, and I wanted to throw something out there that was kind of catchy that people could think of as like a trend, pop culture. And to me, growing up in the 90s, Tupac was pop culture. You know, the guy was known for being a civil rights activist, you know, a poet. And when you thought of Tupac, you thought of Thug Life. So when I'm thinking of toys, Toy Hobby and I Group, Life. I think of it as like, that's a part of our culture, you know? But what made that group even more amazing is that I think I met Ben early on. I don't remember if it was OfferUp or one of the toy groups.
We used to message each other on OfferUp.
I think it was OfferUp. And Ben wanted one of the Street Fighter toys I had. I think it was a Vega. And we did a trade for the Comic-Con exclusive Justice League. The one that, the one that has Kevin Conroy's voice on it. And from there on, that's when he started inviting me to go to the VFW shows. I went there, and what really amazed me at the shows is that there was different guys there that collected. Different guys there that collected that would see, not so much like in the streets, but... Dude, they were familiar, but from the stores or something. No, well, I was gonna say they were flashing colors. They were gang members. And normally being locked up, you have your little politics where everyone's segregated with their own groups or their own colors. But I saw Crips and Bloods getting along, or homies getting along, and they had this common love for collecting, and that's what really I couldn't get these guys in the same room to hang out without saying something to each other.
He told me that before. Like, it's like it was
like
crazy.
I feel like this is like, and a lot of people that follow hip hop, I feel like this is death row. Like, this is big because people of different walks of life just getting together now, judging what your background is.
Yeah.
All we have is the same love for toys. I met a lot of the guys like that too at the shows, the early shows from United. Bloods and Crips kicking out.
And these guys are still pretty active too. They keep it family oriented now. But they still they throw their colors around. They don't they're not disrespectful, but they let it be known. And they don't trip on each other, and that's where the whole bug.
That is pretty interesting. That's crazy too, because like, it's not a bunch of things that can bring people together. You know,
yeah.
The fact that toys is one of them is just crazy. How impactful that comes, because basically it all comes down to their origin stories too, like their childhood.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that has a big impact on why they keep collecting this stuff.
Well, yeah, a lot of them had to become something they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another thing for me too. I mean, I grew up in East San Diego,
yeah.
And East San Diego was a really rough neighborhood for me. But again, with that type of pop culture, back then, if you were a nerd, you were attacked.
Yeah.
And you know, and growing up around that time, you couldn't really.
You couldn't express it.
No, you
couldn't.
Is
there 7 bucks?
Seven?
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't express yourself. So I mean, just like everyone else, I had to join a group. Just to be safe, or just to try to, have some type of, not a reputation, but you know, respect,
because
you didn't want to be messed with. Because it's always movies or how other people are portrayed that gets you attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a trend. Like everybody wants to be cool. Oh man, I wish I was in there. You know, I want to be, you know, Marvel and everything else, because it's
the movie,
right? It's culture,
it's
now.
Pop culture, yeah.
Exactly.
It's shifted, which is kind of crazy, but I mean, it's pretty cool, because I know, like you said, when I was little, it was, and I'm younger than you, and it was still like that kind of vibe. You know, if you played with action figures, it was like either you're a little kid or you're like a pussy or shit like that. You know, like that's why a lot of people stop collecting. And I know Benjamin, that's why he stopped collecting too, and it's just, it's just crazy how that shit like fucks with your head, but then most of the time people end up coming back.
Yeah, now it's okay.
Yeah.
Now they won't say anything to you. Everyone's like, oh man, I want to be a part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's more like...
It'll probably die down though again, like in the future. I think it is going to slow down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if there's like some sort of economic crisis or something. I don't think people are going to be collecting as many toys as they are right now. I feel like right now it's like a good abundance. Like people are buying more than
before.
Yeah, I keep. So how often do you come out here to the Kobe Swap Meet?
When my work allows it. Yeah, I work the graveyard shift, so a lot of times they keep me for the weekend. So I try to come out here as much as I can, as often as I can. And the only thing that I try to separate myself from some of the regular collectors. I try to get a little mix of everything. I try to
have variety.
Yeah, I try to have variety. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people.
Thank you.
Ben has always told me, you know, the thing about you is you have a variety of different things, you know.
Yeah, but it's like out of the norm. Like not a lot of people have varieties.
Yeah, it's a hit and miss.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, you have to try to have one thing, because I mean, everyone can collect Marvel, everyone can collect, you know, Dragon Ball Z, but I, you know, I try to have a little something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, the crowds are so, they're very selective. And I'm the same way too, when with some of my new collections, I'm very selective too. Now, with my collections, I'm trying to get everything signed. So if I run into a Freddy Krueger doll, and if I get it signed by Robert Englund, Or I just recently got The Evil Dead?
Scott Campbell, right? Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell, yeah.
Scott Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that got signed for me. I mean, it had. I was lucky enough to find the first Deadpool with Lightfield's signature on it. I got lucky with that
the
one.
The comic book?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I was able to get that. So that's like my new style of collecting now. So anything I buy, I try to get signatures from the actors. Thomas Jane. Who's the other ones I got signed? Jason Momoa. There's a few of them I have. A couple of comic artists. Jim Lee. Can't get Todd. Todd's almost impossible to get a hold of now. So it's to try to get toys signed now. So that's where I try to... be unique. If I ever can get an actor to sign maybe a Predator figure, would be actually kind of cool, but I've never seen him at Comic-Cons.
It's rare for him.
Yeah, it's very rare. I mean, I met a few actors, but I couldn't get their signatures, like Mark Hamill. I actually got a signature from Kevin Conroy for my Batmans. That was actually kind of cool. met him at WonderCon. Great guy. It's still hard to get a hold of a lot of these celebrities. I mean, even at Comic-Con. I actually turned down going to Comic-Con this year, which is kind of hard to say. I just can't deal with the crowds anymore. Can't deal with the crowds. They're not about the collectors. They're about whoever has the most money or who could pay for what.
Yeah.
Because I would go into the Comic-Cons and I'd try to see someone. I mean, I think the very last time I was at a Comic-Con, Stan Lee was, obviously he was still alive.
Yeah.
But that guy was really nice. He would just start a conversation with you out of the blue. And this was way before he started doing movies. There was a few celebrities that didn't settle too well with me. Like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, he won't shake your hand.
Yeah, that guy, he wants... Oh, yeah, he's not a very polite guy. I mean...
Unless you're paying him for his Polaroid picture.
Already?
Picture or talk.
So you don't shake that guy's hand, you stick like a $20 bill.
Well, apart from that, they won't let you even get close to him, bro. That's not true
because he's always with that. He's almost in that comic book stand, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I've gone a few times by there and tried to say at least hi, hello. You know, not ask for anything. And he kind of just stares off into the sky, like.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Damn. I don't know. There's some celebrities, bro. You know who's like that? Believe also? It, like they're fucking dicks, bro.
I think it was Kevin Serbo.
Yeah, Kevin Serbo was the same way. The guy who played Hercules.
Really?
Yeah. From Xena.
Yeah.
I see him walking outside.
I didn't want to shake that guy's head at all.
Yeah.
I said hi. I saw him. I said, "Oh shit, that's fucking Hercules, right?" Right? Because I remember. Yeah. Because I remember.
Yeah.
Xena.
Yeah. Xena.
I used to watch that show like nonstop too. I love that show.
And so I wanted to say hi, and there's this guy that, you know, I used to watch on the show all the time, and he just kind of stuck his face forward, kept walking, didn't even say hi back or anything or whatever. And I was like, hey, prick, I fucking watch your show all the damn time. I'm not, you know, saying,
what
hey.
Do people say that to
them? Oh, no, yeah, they do. They get pretty bold with them. That's why they're kind of grumpy half the time, because they get really rude with them.
One time I was volunteering at Comic-Con and for my friend, because he was going to let me borrow his badge for another day. So I was kind of taking a spot or whatever. And the guy, Scott Snyder, passed by to go into the DC booth. And I was like, oh shit, it's Scott Snyder. He looked at me, he was like, you know, like, I hope this guy doesn't fucking try to take a picture with me and start all this fucking crazy shit. So... I was like, are you signing today? And he kind of ignored me, but right when he passed by me, he's like, yes, I'll be at the booth, so blah, 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 real quick. Like, as soon as he was walking, he took the time, you know, to say something instead of, he could have just easily, like, walked by and not said anything, you know?
Yeah.
No, but he took the time. He's a pretty nice dude. I've actually encountered him a couple times on the floor, and every single time that he's been on the floor, luckily, he wasn't, like, I don't know if people don't know him or if people just don't recognize celebrities sometimes.
Honestly, you say at Scott, least I recognize for Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder, but you don't recognize the face because maybe because he's a comic book artist. Maybe that's
like,
why.
If I would see him right here sloppy, I wouldn't know.
No?
You well, guys? I mean, yeah, I mean, no, not, I mean, if it was like Jim Lee or something like that. Like, one time I was working at GameStop and I saw Jim Lee. And I was like,
Scott
wow,
Snyder
you know,
is the new
I was
guy
all
that
Star Trek.
Did the new 52 Batman stuff, the one that everybody likes.
Yeah, Scott Snyder.
He's been getting bigger right now, so you guys will hear about him sooner or later.
It's always the artwork.
Yeah.
It's always the artwork that does. I mean, actually, you know who got really humble that was really cool with taking pictures and shaking out was Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
But this is after he got out of jail. I guess what he went in for like tax evasion or something.
For me, it was Andy Serkis.
Wait, what was it?
Andy Serkis.
I have women sizes.
For him, he was the guy.
I have
women
sizes.
He was cool. He was took a photo of me and my kid. That was cool.
Yeah,
I got it for 30.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
For 30.
Another good one was
women 25.
The guy from the guy who does the voice of Chris from Family Guy.
Okay.
Oh God, what was his name? Green? Seth Green?
Seth Green.
Oh yeah.
Seth Green.
Yeah.
I caught him running around Comic Con floor.
He's the guy from he does the chicken.
Chicken
yeah,
robot chicken.
Chicken.
Robot
yeah,
chicken.
Robot chicken, yeah.
Seth Green. I have a figure of him right there. There's a figure of him.
He caught me by surprise one time on the floor. I was actually I had a pretzel. And he came up to me and he goes, hey man, you want to sell me your pretzel? He says, I'll give you $20 for it right now.
Damn.
He goes, I'm just hungry. I was like, I didn't recognize him at first. I'm like, yeah, sure.
It's the time, you know? Yeah. He was like, fuck it, I don't want to wait in line.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, sure. I mean, it was his friend. I just bought it. He saw me buy it. And then as he walked away, I was like, wait a minute, you're... And he just hit that corner.
Shit.
And he just he disappeared in the crowd like a ninja, dude. I couldn't find him again. Yeah. Yeah, but he's a short little guy. He's really short.
I've seen him before.
I mean, that guy just zigs and zags. I mean, he's quick. But, I mean, you have to if you're at the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how I'm always on the go. When I'm there, I'm always like... All the time.
Oh, yeah. I had some bad experiences there. I think the very last time I was there, I was going to get into a fight.
Oh, really?
Someone knocked a drink out of my hand one time. I was hanging out with a buddy of mine, and this guy walks by, knocks out a soda. I'm like, hey, can you say excuse me? He goes, well, you shouldn't be standing there. Like, what? Yeah, no. Kind of lunged out on my friend, grabbed me by the shirt, pulled me back. He's like, dude, it's not worth it. Damn. And then later on that day, I don't know if you even heard about it, he got stabbed in the face with a pencil.
Oh, I think I've seen that. I heard about it. And Hall H?
Yeah, that was the same guy.
Yeah. I don't know if it was ever confirmed. That was like a big rumor, though, for a while that there was like...
Yeah.
People had... That some guy had gotten stabbed in the leg or in the eye or something.
Something like in the face with a pencil.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that's the problem because people
I would believe it. Like, it's crazy. People get like freaking crazy at Comic-Con, man.
Even over toys. Yeah. Man. Over... I mean, I've seen too many people get a fight over... Yeah, exclusives.
Yeah. Funko, too.
I have not hit that yet. I haven't seen anyone fight over a Funko. I think
I have, especially in the groups too, like in San Diego, the local groups.
Oh man!
Sometimes there's beef. Like it's just crazy.
Right. Well, I mean, right now with people fighting over toys, I can't believe that people get fight over toys.
It's
a bad deal goes down, or they decide not to go, or they don't meet up,
or they can't get it like at the store.
There's
one dude. Johnny Iningas. Well, he's known both in the toy community and the pop. It is what it is. He goes on OfferUp by It Is What It Is.
Oh, and, I think I heard about that guy.
He's Lime 47 or something.
Oh, he changed his thing.
Oh, It Is What It Is. I saw one of his posts.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but he's been known for like almost fighting for people because of the Chase Pops, because he didn't get a Chase Pop one time, and he used to take his daughter with him to get more exclusives, you know, like the more people you take, because they had limited the pops. They had a limit to like three. It used to be like no limit for any pops, and then at Hot Topic they started limiting like five per, then like three per. And like one chase, you could only get one chase. Before it was like if you were there you could get all the chases if you were there on time. And this guy would take his daughter so he could get more stuff, you know?
Oh, my God.
And then one time, I guess they confronted this lady because... They confronted a lady. Him and his daughter confronted a lady over a pop. And they almost got, like, into a... Like, they pretty much harassed the person because they followed her to her car.
Plaza Benita, right?
Yeah, they followed to her car to keep talking shit to see if, like... The lady would have returned the pop or something. I wasn't there. This was all like secondhand, but it pretty much went down like that. You know, it's been like, damn, like pops is getting crazy.
Well, you bring up a good point too, because in this toy community, either it could unite people or they could just break them apart.
Yeah.
But you know, you always have to just stay away from that few or kind of keep them out of the groups so that way you don't have that negativity, because I can't stand that negativity of people fighting over. I can't see myself getting into a fist fight over a toy.
Yeah.
I'll be like, you wanted that bad, here, you could have it. So it's like I eventually find another one. But I mean, but you have like, you know,
how come we can't find the Clovis Clay or whatever it's
called? The Clovis Clay?
That's the only thing I can't find right now.
In the 2-pack?
Walmart, please. You're pleading.
I don't think Walmart cares.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen Walmart now that they have, like, what, third parties actually selling their products now, too?
Yeah.
They sell them for, like, $50 to $100.
Yeah.
I think I was trying to find, like, a cap online, and they want $85. And it's a Toy Wiz. Toy Wiz.
Damn.
Toy Wiz is selling for, like, $80. So, yeah, Walmart has to stop that.
Well, I don't know. They're just, like...
Well, Target does that, too. They all do that.
Target does it too? I haven't seen it with Target.
I try to buy shit for Target, and then on the bottom, you have to, if you look at the filters, because I have to always filter out, like, the vendor or who it is. It says retailer.
I don't know how some of them even stay in business. I mean, companies like Big Bad Toy Store. Or...
They've just been around for so long. You know, they probably their branding is like that kind of strong. You know, that's probably what it is. Like they're more known like nationwide or something, and that's why they could probably maintain. But once somebody else comes in, like they'll start rebranding. There's gonna be some new toy places that are gonna come up. Like now that Toys R Us is not even in the play.
Well, it's a rumor they're coming back. It's a rumor. Yeah. I mean, they're still in Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a rumor.
So I mean, there's a big market for toys right now. So I think there's gonna be like some big story that's gonna come out in the next like couple years.
Well, I know this still exists a little bit because my store carries some Toys R Us products. I mean, nothing out of
special.
Yeah, nothing special. I mean, like the Toy Story came out, you know, they'll have the Toy Story, or they'll have some exclusive Hot Wheels. But other than that, though, it's still a deal that Kroger made with Toys R Us. So I know they're out there. They might come back, but will it be the same? That's what we don't know.
I think it's gonna be smaller, but I don't even know what kind of toys, because toys could be anything, you know. It could be only the kids stuff, like they might not even carry collectibles.
Like when KB Toy Stores did that, they did like an outlet center. KB's an outlet center.
The outlets were awesome, man. I used to love the outlets.
Yeah, I mean, you could find a lot of good stuff there, but that's if someone didn't beat you to the punch.
Yeah,
the
one
you
see Kmart. It was always good to me. I love that. Went in and I was like, oh, I remember one time going into the KB's, the outlet right there. And I walked in and they had a whole wall, nothing but 25th anniversary Storm Shadows, bro.
Oh.
So I went in there and I was like, I at least want 30. And at $5 a piece, bro.
Oh, my God.
I took them all out, bro, and I made a Ninja Force.
Do you still have them?
No, I sold them. I got rid of them when I started selling my Joe collect. I got out of Joe's.
Oh, I got out of Joe's.
I only collect now strictly from 82 all the way to maybe 2004. And some of the exclusives that later on came out at JoeCon, like in 2002 or 2003. Some of them, not all of them. Certain exclusives.
I think the very last time I bought something from KB's is when the X-Men movie came out. I mean, you know, I had the movie X-Men line?
Yeah.
I think that's the very last time I bought anything from KB's, and that was in Mission Valley, so that was a long time ago.
I worked at Butte, but we only, like, how we worked was, it was during the season, Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they would still try to keep us on till inventory, so we would go do inventory, like, around May, and then they would let us go for a couple months, and then they would call us back to work at KB's.
They were still open when I was little, but then they went out of business a couple of years after I was.
It was what, like in 2000? It was
2004, 2005? No, 2006 or 2007.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's bad. There's a downfall. Now everything's online almost.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything's online. I mean, we're going to be streaming toys soon. Who knows? You know who gives the credit for that? Are the customizers.
Yeah.
The people who do customs are the ones that keeps Hasbro on their feet. On their toes, actually, because they see like someone. I mean, when Sauron, before the Sauron wave came out, someone built one.
Oh, really?
And he was selling his for like $200-$300. Someone made an oversized Venom, was sold out for like $400. Someone.
Yeah, the customizers, man.
They're the ones that they're keep Hasbro ones. Coming out, or them crying for another figure to come out. Yeah, those are the only guys that are keeping the toy lines coming out. Anyone that does custom, I mean, there's one that I'm waiting for. Hopefully, it'll come out soon. If they stop doing reissuing the same figures, is a Thunderbird. I need to get a Thunderbird.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite figures I've always wanted to get. I mean, there's Warpath, but that's the main one. But who knows? I mean, right now they're just reissuing the same thing over and over and. And it's killing the value of, like, let's say the Juggernaut Build-A-Figure. Now they come out with that two-pack. So, yeah.
That's why I don't go for the Build-A-Figures anymore. Because they're starting to come out in two-pack. Why do I wait for the two-packs? It's because they're a lot better, too.
Yeah, the paint job.
Sometimes extra. Yeah. But the Hulkbuster, I was happy with the Hulkbuster. But then they released the UK one. And then, boom, UK was released. And then we got it in the two-pack. Same thing. I'm glad I waited for that two-pack.
Oh, yeah?
I sold my bath for like $80. four. And then I had a prior one too, and I sold that to Dave for like $40 because I couldn't move it. Yeah, take it, bro. Because I couldn't move it after it lost so much value.
Yeah.
Which is the build a figure you guys want to see to come out? That's the.
I want a new Sentinel. As a back.
Another Sentinel?
I want another Sentinel. Maybe a Nimrod, but that size though.
Oh, Nimrod was a smaller character though. Nathan doesn't want it. He was like about a 7-inch figure.
Like 7-inch.
He was like 7 or 8. He was like a different type of Sentinel.
Maybe a new Galactus. I don't like. I honestly don't like the Toy Biz guy. I thought it was too small, too skinny. Now the Marvel Universe.
The Marvel Universe was good with the light up
awesome
chest piece. That's
awesome.
A good one.
Maybe you know what would be awesome too? It came out in Thor 1.
The Destroyer?
The Destroyer. A tall one.
Oh. Yeah, he was a big character. Well, didn't they have a Marvel Select one?
Marvel Select, it's like about 7 or 8 inches.
Yeah, because the other one that
they mostly use him for Odin.
That's right.
They use him for Odin. Odin army. He just came with an alternate head.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
So Odin had the Destroyer body? I seen him with the head, but I didn't know that's what he came with.
Might be mistaken. I'm trying to think.
I think I've seen someone actually have that too. I don't know if they're customized.
Because of the patch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
or unless that was maybe just like a head swap.
I don't know.
Out of the Build-A-Figure from the all. I don't know. I mean, thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean that's a good thing about customizers, man. You could pretty much have anything.
Yeah.
I think what those guys should actually do is, like, for example, like Hulk, like when they did the Banff on the Gladiator Hulk, they should have made him a lot bigger. Kind of like the
Gladiator Hulk.
Like Diamond Select, if you ever see that one, the first size. I think he kind of looks like that's how it actually should look compared to the regular Legends.
I think mine. Build-A-Figure is going to be the Weapon H. I want a Weapon H.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a matter of time before that one comes out. That character is awesome, man.
You know what would also be awesome, too? A Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yes, with the bike. I think he's going to be a Rider. He's going to come out with
the
Rider series.
Rider
series for sure. They have to, man. I've seen customizers sell that for a lot of money, over $200-$300 for that one, too.
There's like big rumors, and it's like it's spreading all over the groups. They brought it out at that, what's that, Comic-Con convention in Mexico? Where they release all the new,
I'm not sure.
They have a big convention in Mexico where they release all the new lines. And it's right after Comic-Con, too. They're releasing, he's going to be part of the
Mexico,
writer.
In Mexico City?
Mexico City. He's going to be part of the writer series. It's a Benny Blanc guy with a scooter.
See,
bro, they've been talking.
Going for a minute, man. I was like, really?
No, but there is like a certain. I was just gonna ask you. There is a certain con in Mexico.
There is.
I remember last year because they had released pictures of other stuff that was gonna be released.
They had them in like the little shelves and shit, like
the
cases, right?
Yeah.
I remember somebody posting something about that last year or this year. I can't remember.
And it was in Mexico City. It was right after Comic-Con.
I can't remember the name, but I know they have some exclusives there. I was going crazy trying to find this comic, but it's the one with Wolverine dressed as Deadpool. That was a con exclusive in Mexico.
I didn't know that existed.
I have it. If I can find it, I'll take a picture for you guys. But it almost shows like Deadpool doing a selfie of himself. But in the hands, the claws are popped out in.
Oh,
yeah, the claws are popped out in actual figure.
Yeah.
And but you still, he's still wearing the Deadpool mask.
Sorry.
Oh no, that's fine. And you can see Logan's face on it. He's lifting up the mask.
Okay. Does he have it all or just half?
No, just half.
Oh, shit.
And you can see the beard,
the beard,
sideburns.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was a Wolverine. And that was actually an exclusive made in Mexico.
It's because it's an exclusive. Yeah.
That's pretty freaking bad. So you say you saw there's a picture of it on the internet?
Yeah, you can just look it up. Look up, it's a Wolverine comic.
Like, I didn't know that they had that exclusive for the video game. Like, that, I think Kevin posted it, or I'm not sure if he did. It's a picture of a Venom Wolverine. Venom Punisher.
Oh, the Venom Punisher?
It was for a subscription.
I have that figure.
You did?
I have that figure. I don't know if Kevin posted. I thought I posted that one.
No, you and Kevin got it. I think he sent me a picture of it.
Okay, yeah, that's when you had to buy that that membership, that Marvel membership. God, what's the name of those boxes? Like the loot box, loot crate, loot crate.
Oh,
yeah, but the Marvel had their own version of it. It didn't last very long. And I think the very first one was the Venom Punisher was the very first one. I couldn't get it though. I couldn't.
HasLab, right?
Huh?
HasLab. Like it was a membership.
Yes. Like, yeah, something. That was it. That was HasLab.
HasLab exclusive.
Yeah, but I had a very hard time getting a hold of that one. So I had to get it like third party. Some other guy was selling it. He sold it for $40. It wasn't too bad. But that one was really good because. But it had the same thing. The only thing that's different about it is that the logo on the chest. It had the Venom. It had the Punisher logo, and it had the
legs.
The legs.
As part of the skull, it's really nice.
And it also had the open mouth with the tongue sticking out.
With the tongue sticking out.
Not like the one you have right now, with just the tongue in the inside. And it's green. It has like a little
green slime.
The green slime coming out of the tongue. But you know, that one's pretty easy to customize because all you have to do is switch out Frank Castle's head, which is nothing. And if you want to make it look a little more towards the comic book, you just take off that one little piece from the back of the other Venom. I think it's like the symbiote.
Yeah.
And that's it. Then it's complete.
Will you be aiming for the new War Machine Punisher helmet from Legends?
Yeah.
I'm going to pull the trigger, but I'll do retail. I don't care.
What kind of effects does it have? I'm not sure.
It's like the Iron Man helmet, bro, pretty much. But it's War Machine's helmet, and it's the skull painted onto the War Machine helmet.
Oh, okay, I know which
one. But that's
it looks like Crossbone.
Marvel Pulse, isn't it?
Is it?
It's called Pulse or something like that. It's like
Hasbro Pulse.
Pulse?
So what is that? What is Pulse? I've been seeing that.
HasLab was the one that did the barge.
Yeah.
And Hasbro Pulse is... Basically, it's the Hasbro toy store that they just changed their name, and they try to, like, you can buy a membership, and that's how you got the exclusive figures. Because it was that one, and I think they also did a Tony Stark at one time.
Come on, buddy.
Oh, okay.
They just rebranded the name, and then, so it's not like that. Before it was Hasbro Toys or some shit like that. Yeah. Now it's Hasbro Pulse.
Pulse.
So they just, it's like rebranding, I guess.
Rebranding.
I don't know if you want to add anything else before we wrap it up.
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think we covered a lot. I mean, especially it's getting pretty busy here in the Swami today, so I don't want to take too much more of your guys' time.
We appreciate that you came by to hang out and you did the podcast with us.
Toy Hobby United Group, Doug Page. Just get in. And same thing with the Collector Showroom and... Shout out to everyone that's a part of the group. Shout out to everyone that collects. Shout out to everyone that's a part of the same hobby as we are. So.
All right, guys. Well, with that being said, this was Eduardo Pineda for episode 18 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle.
Benjamin.
Juan Bravo.
Michael Benavides.
Have a good one, guys.